Join Tina Wilmot from Endurance Sportswire as she interviews today's most successful leaders and entrepreneurs in the business of running, cycling, and triathlon. Every show is packed with incredible stories, great takeaways, and valuable tips to help you propel your business and career. Join us on endurancesportswire.com/podcasts for recaps of every interview with loads of useful resources. And don't forget to keep up to date on today's endurance sports business news, jobs, and announcements by signing up for our free newsletter at endurancesports.com.
Tina Wilmot here from Endurance Sportswire Podcast. I am excited to speak with a friend and colleague, Mike Riley, today. Mike is best known as the voice of Ironman. Tens of thousands of Ironman finishers around the world have heard his famous phrase, "You are an Ironman," as they cross the finish line. He was inducted into the Ironman Hall of Fame in 2011 and is a founding member of the industry organization Triathlon Business International. And he's also a committee member and host of the Running USA National Conference and much more. What you may not know is Mike has had a very successful career of, I think, over 30 years. He started when he was 10 in the endurance sports industry. So I really look forward to hearing about some of his learnings, challenges, and words of wisdom as a longstanding leader in the running, cycling, and triathlon industry. Welcome, Mike. How are you today?
Tina, I'm fantastic. And thanks for that introduction. Really, I started when I was 5 years old, not 10.
Five. Okay. Sorry, I got the dates wrong. Now, I was going to add in the intro a bit about your business career, but you have had such a full career, I didn't even know where to start. So I decided I was going to let you share with us some of the highlights of your business background and how you originally got involved in the endurance sports industry.
Well, it's a story that goes back a little ways. I actually moved to San Diego from Ohio with my wife, Rose, and taught school here in San Diego. And that lasted 2 years. Then my older brother, who had more money than I did, said, and we were both runners, let's open up a running shoe store. So I quit teaching. I managed the running shoe store. We grew it to 4 stores, 3 here in San Diego and 1 in Phoenix. And then kind of the downturn, we went through the running craze, and then it kind of downturned. And he decided, well, I want to sell the stores now. And it kind of left me out in the cold. Well, I had relationships with all these running shoe reps that would make calls on me to sell me their products. So I went to all those guys. And next thing you know, I became a Saucony shoe rep here in Southern California. I started representing, God, everything from Power Bar to Saucony to, oh gosh, everything in the endurance space and Gatorade, the whole gamut. Then that's how I got into endurance and business. And I just kept selling ever since then. And then next thing you know, in 99, I started with Active as one of the original, you know, 8 there. And that lasted 16 years. Now I'm here at events.com, another endurance company in the business. And so I've been able to produce my income over the years with my passion of endurance sports.
I think it's interesting that you started as a teacher. Didn't Bob Babbitt start as a teacher as well?
Yeah, we both were teaching here in San Diego at the same time. We didn't know each other. And after I got out and he got out, we met each other at a race for the first time. And he started telling me about his background. I knew right where his school was. He knew where mine was. I go, that's crazy. And then we both just kind of morphed into the endurance business because we love to work out. We love to run. And we love to ride bikes and do all that stuff. And next thing you know, I go, God, if I can make money at this, how cool would that be? So he was thinking along the same lines. And, you know, he and that crazy guy, we've been together ever since doing stuff together.
and still emceeing word shows, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I know during your career as well, you and your wife started Race Place. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, that was actually a brainchild of a guy by the name of Rob Wallach out of Phoenix. I was calling on him. He has a store over in Phoenix called The Runner's Den, one of the best running stores in the country. He still is today. And he told me about this idea of starting this magazine in Arizona. I said, well, why don't you do an issue? When I come back on my next trip through, I'll take a look at it. And if I think it's cool, I'll take it to Southern California, give you Southern California. So I took his paper issue back. I showed it to people like Lynn Flanagan from In Motion. I showed it to Tim Murphy and da da da. And they all go, God, this is a great idea. So I started it here in Southern California in 84, I think, 84, 85. And then we started having kids. So Rose quit nursing and she took it over. So for the last 30 years, she's been Race Place magazine and website. Now my son Andy bought it from her last year. And Race Place is like the Bible in Southern California for events. You know, people thought when I went to work for Active that we were going to put Race Place, I'd put my wife out of business, and she would always make the comment, "Nah, that's not going to happen. They aren't going to take the laptop into the bathroom. They'll take my magazine in there and read it." So, you know,
I love it.
It was like as simple as that, but it just sustained over the years. And now Andy has taken it, you know, increased the revenue dramatically and doing some new, fresh things with it. And it's great to see.
We were talking earlier. I was so excited to hear that he had acquired Race Place because I'm always supportive of fellow entrepreneurs. And he seems to be really excited about it. I was curious as to how much does he share with you about the business decisions he's making and the changes that he's making? You know, do you give him unsolicited advice or does he enjoy kind of hearing from you? Because obviously you have much longer experience in the industry.
Well, we've always had a great relationship when it comes to talking about business and life and everything. So if he needs something or he wants to throw something off me, he does it right away. I don't look at the issue or go to the website and go, "Oh God, he should have done this better." I mean, I'll never do that. He's got to learn things on his own, but he's always come to me. So I love giving him advice. Rose gives him a lot of advice because obviously she knows that business better than I do on what things should be done or changes he should make. And he told me, he goes, "Hey, take a look at this. I'm thinking of changing this on the magazine or the website. What do you guys think?" And we just give him our opinion. Then he does whatever he wants to do. So, which he should. It's his business. So it's great. It's a good back and forth communication between all of us. And hopefully we help him out a little bit.
So it's still in the family a little bit then. So even though he owns it and runs it, it sounds
It's funny. People say that, but I go, I don't have to go to the race on the weekend and deliver the thing. You know, Rose isn't up in the office out of the house till midnight trying to make a deadline. So, yeah, it's still in the family because our last name's attached to it, but not all the damn work, I'll tell you that.
That sounds like a good side to be on.
Yeah, exactly.
So your years and years of experience have really predominantly been off sales, and I know there's a lot of people in sales in our industry who listen to the podcast, and I was hoping you might be able to share some of your successful strategies you've used to grow your business as well as build loyalty with your customer base. I know we were talking earlier about the fact that, you know, you had been at Active for many, many years working on large accounts, and now at events.com, it's a little bit different. It's more of a startup mode. So you're probably having to pull out some of your skills over the years and maybe even a little more work to really help make it successful. And I was wondering if you can share some of your tips and strategies that you use.
Well, there's really in sales, there's no such thing as resting on your laurels. That's the kiss of death with sales. And if you do that, you become complacent. And I've learned over the years that if complacency comes into the sales process or how you approach a client, not doing the correct discovery or finding out what their needs are, you're going to lose. And your competition is always getting better. I mean, I think if you underestimate your competition, it's a kiss of death. Competition can only make you stronger and better and make sure you go to the market with the best product possible. So I think over the years on the sales side, a lot of it is based on relationships, but you still got to be able to fill the needs and the holes of a client, of an event, of a race, whether it's a vendor, no matter who it is, you got to be able to assess their needs, to find out what they are, and hopefully patch them up with them. And that's how you build partnerships and relationships in sales. Relationships can be, yeah, we went to dinner together, we went out drinking together. That stuff's all fine and good, but at the end of the day, those aren't the things that put the check in the bank. Those aren't the things that produce income for a great salesperson. And, you know, here at events.com, that's what I'm trying to teach everybody because we are, some people selling here have not been through that startup side of the business as I was with Active. And there's a lot of things you've got to do differently than the competition. You've got to do a more discovery. You've got to really let them know what we have to be able to fill their needs. And so sales is ever changing. That's why the complacency thing is really the kiss of death, because every day I'll hear about a new technique or somebody saying something, you know, I did this with this client and they really appreciate it. And I go, wow, that's, that's fantastic. I may have done that years ago, but I haven't done it in a while. So, you know, Mike, get your ass in gear and do it this way. We all can learn, no matter what your age is in sales. And that's the best advice I can give everybody. If you, the day you think you know it all, or you don't have to pick up a book to learn or teach yourself, that's the day you're going to start going backwards. And going backwards in sales is means no income. So that's cause enough and reason enough for me to keep going forward.
That's really, really good advice. Now, do you think there's more competition in the event management space now than there was, say, the last 5 to 10 years?
Oh, definitely. I mean, people are jumping into the space because, one, it's a great business to be in. You know how many people say to me, God, Mike, you're going to an Ironman. I wish I could carry your bags and be a part of that business. Or you get to go talk to Pittsburgh Marathon. You get to go talk to these people and visit those events. That's fantastic. I wish I could do that with you. And so everybody, they all want to be a part of it in some way. So, yeah, the competition is there. And yeah, more power to them if they come into the business and they've got the finances to be able to do it because it's difficult. And if they've got the right manpower to do it, it's great. You know what? It's not like the restaurant business where there's one on every corner. But I think we're a lot smarter with our business nowadays. And like I said earlier, the competition only makes you stronger. It really only makes you a better company.
Definitely, definitely. Now, I did want to ask you, you started at Active way back when Active was a startup. So what would you say, you know, how have times changed working at a startup 15 years ago compared to today? Are there some similarities and differences that you've experienced?
Yeah, some similarities, but mostly differences, because when we started Active back in the late 90s, early 2000s, we were battling the event director to stop an entry form, stop having their runners and their triathletes fill out a piece of paper to enter the race. I mean, we were all coming online for the first time then. So we were trying to sell the aspect of the internet and being able to register online without a piece of paper. So nowadays, that's obviously a moot point. And nowadays, it's to sell exactly what your technology can do to help that event grow and prosper. It's really as simple as that. And everything's built at events. Back in the day with Active and even a lot of competitors now, they're built around runners and triathletes. I always think we're building our business around experiences. You know, we want people to have the greatest experience they can at an event, starting with coming to us and registering for the event. If that happens, the event's very happy. And then the runner's going to come back. So, you know, the mission statement here is to, you know, connect people with the experiences they love one event at a time. And so that's the difference between it. It's the business nowadays in endurance is really based on experiences. And that's happened because of, you know, things like the color run and the electric runs and the Spartan races, and where they're bringing four or five or six buddies with them to do the event together and experience this new cool thing. They're still running. They're still beating each other up on our Spartan course, but they get done, they go, God, that was a great experience. But when they say that, they're coming back. If they had a bad experience with us at the beginning and had a good experience at the race, the overall experience may not be what the event director wants it to be. So that's the difference between then and now. It's all about the experiences now. Back then, it was all about, oh, I got to sign up and PR for this race. It's a little different nowadays.
Gosh, I can't even remember last time I filled out a form to enter a race. It's so funny. And that was the norm just not that long ago. You know, it's pretty crazy. And I think, too, I have to ask, you know, in addition to just being different in terms of how these businesses operate, you know, there's no online forms anymore. It's all online. In terms of the technology you have available to actually do your job is a lot different now than it was back then, I'm sure.
Oh, no doubt. You know, it's interesting because when I take a look at the charity aspect of the endurance business, you know, there are great charity-based companies out there raising a lot of money for charity causes throughout the world. And we decided, you know, on one aspect of our business, we're not a charity company. We're an event management company. Well, let's partner with a great charity company. We partnered with CrowdRise, who is the largest fundraising site for for causes worldwide. They got over 1.5 million charities they work with. They know that business. So now they're integrating with us to be a part of the events business so that we can be a part of the charity business. Because we can't go build it. Heck, we don't even have our, we don't even mess with servers. We're not an IT house. So we have Amazon, AWS, Amazon Web Services take care of all of our servers for us because we're not in that business. So I think where it's come down to technology today, you got to find out what you're really best in. Work at it very hard, do the best you can do in it. And if you're not good at something because and you don't have the time or the money or the technology to build it, bring in a great partner who can integrate with your system. And that's how events is being built, exactly like that.
Interesting. Now, I always have to ask this question to all of our guests because I think it adds so much insight into the person and a lot of learning as well. Now, every leader faces some big challenges along the way. What would you say one of your big missteps was in business, and what did you learn from that experience?
Oh, gosh. Hire slowly, hire very slowly, because if you've got the opportunity to bring in great people into the organization, you've only got one shot at that A-plus person, and you don't want to settle, because then all of a sudden you're taking a look and going, oh, God, now I got to fire quickly. And the old adage of hire slowly and fire quickly is true. And that fire quickly only comes into place because you didn't take the time to hire the right person. A lot of times, especially in the endurance business, Gina, you know, there's a lot of great people out there who want to be a part of this business. And you know them through events or races, or you've known them because they've worked on other things. And it's a great guy. It's a great gal. And a lot of times people hire people because they're a runner or they're a triathlete, and heck, they did Ironman, so they should be successful in business. Well, it doesn't always correlate. So you've really got to get down to the nuts and bolts of that person on the hiring. I mean, that's one of the biggest things I've learned as a leader, to make sure you surround yourself with people better than you are at almost everything they do. And it'll make you better as a leader, because leaders aren't up there knowing it all. That is for sure. And every day, if I don't learn something from some of the people around me, then I may not hire the right people. And so yeah, hiring slowly and making sure that right person, like, you know, is on the bus is critical.
You know, you make such a good point, because this industry is big but relatively small at the same time. So you do just kind of assume, oh, if I know them, they run, they're well known in the industry, of course they'll do a great job. You know, they have a great reputation. But the reputation as an athlete can be very different from their reputation as an employee. So you make a really, really good point. Now, as an announcer of so many Ironman events, you've had some incredible finish line stories, and I've been fortunate to hear a number of them, but I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you to share one or two that have left a huge impression on you.
Oh, gosh, so many have left.
I know, it's a tough question. It's a loaded question.
Yeah, incredible impressions. I just got back. Ironman New Zealand was in March, and then Ironman Australia was in April, and both those events, there were so many stories there that just touched me. I'm just trying to think of one or two that stood out. Yeah, there was one guy that did Ironman Australia who I started going to Australia about 93, 94. And this guy came up to me on the street and he goes, hey, Mike Riley, you called me an Ironman back in the day. And when they say that in Australia, I know it's at Foster, Australia, not Port Macquarie, where it's at now because the race moved. I go, really? You did Foster? Yeah, yeah, you did it. And I'm back after 21 years. I go, are you kidding me?
Wow.
What do you mean 21 years? And he started telling me how life got really bad on him, and he went through a divorce, and he lost a child. And I'm listening to it. And Gina, I hear these all the time. So I'm standing there, and it's like you're listening to your brother or your uncle, because they're a member of the family. And the whole family aspect in our sport, and especially Ironman, is very strong with me. And God, this guy went through a lot of crap over the last, you know, but then he said 5 years ago, I got stuff back together, things started happening. And I go, you know what? I need to fulfill my dream again and do this race. I go, 21 year gap in between. I go, that's amazing. I've heard of some gaps in between, you know, one Ironman to another, but you can only do it at the older races like Australia or Hawaii or New Zealand. And so
right,
he came in and I saw him coming down the chute, recognized him right away. He was by himself, and I started calling his name. I said where he's from, and I said, hey, everybody, guess when his last Ironman was, because this is his second finish. It was 21 years ago. Welcome back. And the place went berserk. I almost started crying.
Oh my gosh. I kind of get choked up hearing this story, and what a special moment you made it for him as well.
And it is. It's just, you know, people go, how do you keep doing that? But it's one moment between us. It's never me. It's between us, you know, the spectators, myself, to him bringing them, and we're just bringing them home. We just opened the front door to his house, and all his family and friends are waiting for him. And he's coming through. That's how I look at that. And the smile on his face, I just wish I could, you know, grab it and throw it. Everybody that's not feeling well and depressed, and throw that smile at him, I know it would cheer him up. And that's the type of stories and things that keep me going personally at those races. And I know there were people probably in the crowd, Tina, at were so inspired by that. They'll do that race next year. They'll be inspired to go out and start working out and becoming a part of endurance. And you got to keep looking at the big picture. And I know there was a lot of kids in, you know, 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old kids with their mom and dads watching. Can you imagine the inspiration that they must have felt from that?
From
what walk of life? And that those stories, it's every race. That's why I say my best memories, I've had some great ones, are the next ones ready to happen when I go to Ironman Coeur d'Alene on June 28th. You know, so here we go again. And that's why I look at every event like it's the first, because it really, really is my first with everybody there. It's our, here we go. Let's make it all happen. And something like that will happen at Coeur d'Alene. So
that's such a neat story. And it's amazing too, because really, you know, most of the best stories are not from the pros. It's from these, you know, personal endeavors that people, you know, and goals people are accomplishing, like that one, which is great. You know, I wanted to ask you too, I know this because I've talked to you about it, but I think it would be so interesting for our listeners as well. Tell me, can you share with us what you have to do to prepare to call an Ironman event? I mean, you put in so many hours, and there's so many, it's like studying for finals.
Well, it's kind of a repetitive study. So I've got the bios in front of me about a week or 10 days, you know, with a numbered list for the event. And so I go through it, and I just start reading the names. I just, you know, and I don't read every name. I scroll by them. I'm looking at the names. And then I'll go the next time and I'll look at the bios next to the names. In other words, we have a column that says, what's your story? So people will write some pretty incredible things. And some of the stories that stick with me, I actually, when that person's coming in on race day, I go, oh, my gosh, this is the young lady that had breast cancer. I mean, it just comes to me. Boom. So I get it out and tell everybody about her. And it's only because I, you know, I don't memorize everything, but when the name comes up on the screen on race day, something prompts in me like, that's that person from, you know, Philadelphia that this happened to him. And it's because I go through the bios four or five times. So yeah, it's some preparation. It's not like I'm doing hours and hours, but I've gotten pretty good at going, because I've gone through bios 27 years. So it's pretty, I don't know. I just seem to pick up the right things. And then people will send me a lot of emails before an event. Hey, Mike, can you say this about my brother? He's doing, and I'll write the note down and I'll put it in the bio. And when he comes in, I say, hey, your brother John loves you, buddy. And just saying stuff like that to some guys just lose it. They go, where did that come from? Yeah. Because it's just him, you know, that guy and I having a conversation one-on-one. And telling him something that he just loves to hear, and the crowd loves to hear. So the preparation is there just because I don't want to, you know, and I don't get it. I mean, we yell everybody's name out, but I don't get to call everybody an Ironman, a pen, tell me to, you know, in it together. And sometimes it's difficult. And I hear from those people after the race too. Mike, can you send me a video of calling me an Ironman? I sent four of them. I sent four of them last week to Australia. People don't believe I'm there.
Oh, my God.
And people go, hey, Mike, can you send my buddy an email? I go, give me his phone number. They'll give me his phone number. I'll just call right away from my office phone. Dial answer. I go, hey, is this Jimmy Brown who just did Ironman? Yeah. Well, this is Ironman. Congratulations. Oh, hey, thanks. I go, I heard you weren't called an Ironman. No, I wasn't. And I go, really? Why did that happen? Well, I don't know. I came in. Who is this? Keep talking. So I say to him, is this Riley? Is this Mike Riley? Oh, my God. And they start going crazy. I go, yeah. I heard I didn't. I don't know if I was in the bathroom or you just were delirious. He goes, I was probably delirious. And then I go, hey. So then I say his name, where he's from, and I call him an Iron Man over the phone. And they just go berserk. And they go, I can't believe you. I go, yeah, you have a great day. And end of conversation. It lasts 2 minutes. But it's for the rest of his life. It's just,
oh my gosh, you're so kind. Watch out, you're going to start getting, after this next Iron Man, you're going to start getting all these emails and calls. Hey, I heard you will call me and do a video for me.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you make it, I have to say, you make it look so easy when you're up there, because the thought of all these people crossing the finish line and all these names popping up and all these individual stories, I know you have a lot of practice after so many years, but I can't imagine that it's that easy. So you make it look very easy up there, though.
Well, you know why it may seem easy? Because I'm just having a damn blast up there. I mean, it's just, you know, when I bring people up in the tower and they work the computers with me, they never want to leave. They go, this is the center of the universe right here. I go, yeah, it's all happening up here, and you get to see every emotion and smile and frown and tears and crawl that you never thought you could see in one day. So you see it right from the tower.
It's a long day, though. I mean, it's not an Ironman, but you're up there on your feet, and you have to make sure you're not losing your voice. And there's probably only so many bathroom stops.
I tell people an Ironman day would be a heck of a lot easier. I know I'd be done at least near dark or whatever, and I'd have 3-4 hours I could just mess around. Well, when everybody's out at dinner after they finish their race, and people will come back and go, oh, that's right, you're still here. Well, yeah, where am I going to go? I'm here till midnight. I go right through your dinner, your nap, and coming back. Because so many athletes now come back the final 2 or 3 hours. It's amazing how many athletes are in the crowd bringing their fellow finishers in. And I have them all. I go, show me your medal if you finish. And they put them up in the air, and the rest of the crowd just, oh, my God, they're all here. So many athletes come back. Yeah, I challenge them. Come on back and let's bring that final, you know, winners in.
Oh, I hear all the stories, but I haven't quite. I can't even go to any Ironman finishes because I know if I go, I'll want to do one, and I just don't have it in me right now. talking about triathlon, you are a founding member of Triathlon Business International, which is now, I believe, in its fourth year?
Fifth year.
Fifth year. Okay.
Yeah.
So what new things are happening these days, and what's going on with the organization that we should know about?
Oh, gosh, lots of things. You know, we're putting on a conference in Roth, Germany this summer in July. It's going to be a great conference. There's going to be probably 100 to 120 attendees tied in with the Roth race, Challenge Roth. And the reason we wanted to do that is because we're getting so much interest on the international side. The triathlon community is really a close-knit, small community, but it's segmented by this event or that event, this bike company or that bike company. And so TDI, what we wanted to do was try to bring the businesses of triathlon together. So we're not on all the same page of this bike company's got to build a bike like this, or this race should produce a race like this other guy's race. But let's find out and idea each other on the business side and see how we can improve the sport as a whole. We want more people to do triathlon, and that's the whole edict for TBI. And even to the point of when we tied in with, nobody ever thought this would happen, we tied in with Interbike. Interbike has always been a bikey show, but Interbike knew that, hey, the bike portion of triathlon is a huge part of the business. A lot of people make a lot of money in the bike side of the business. So we partnered with Interbike, and we now have a triathlon pavilion in the center of the Interbike show in September. As a matter of fact, I just talked with Jack Caress, our president, and it's almost sold out for the September show.
That's great.
We sell booths of all the triathlon companies want to be a part of that pavilion. And when we have talks and demonstrations, everything in the pavilion. So that's been, and then, you know, the survey, TBI has been doing a survey the last 2 years, and we just came out with a brand new survey that's out on the market that really lets businesses know what triathletes are thinking about. What do they want to buy? How much they want to spend? And so anything we can do to help enhance the sport as a whole and have businesses, because if the businesses aren't doing well and thriving, the sport's going to, you know, we don't want the big bike manufacturers go, I can't sell any more tri bikes and go away. We want to help them. How do you sell more tri bikes? How do you sell more, you know, cycling gear? How do you sell more running shoes? And so we were fortunate with a lot of the players in the sport, so to speak, to put together the organization. With myself and Jack Caress and Richard Adler of Philadelphia and two-time Jews a part of it. Ironman's a part of it. It's a great collective group that gets together and then have our conference every year. You know, it's in L.A. in February, and just try to promote the sport of triathlon.
Okay, so is the conference is going to be in L.A. again this year then? Or
yeah,
next year, I should say?
Yeah, one more year at Marina Del Rey, exactly.
Okay, yeah, I thought that was a great location. I've been fortunate enough to have gone to every single one so far, except for the international ones. And I do find just getting together with all those groups of people from so many different, from events to products to services, is really beneficial. And there's a lot of great networking opportunities as well, and good speakers also. So I really enjoyed it.
Good, thanks. Yeah, good.
And I just got my bumper sticker and luggage tag in the mail yesterday.
Yeah, there you go. Now the organization is all worth it, isn't it?
It's official.
It's official, yeah.
When you have a luggage tag and a bumper sticker, you know you hit the big time.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm kind of a techie, and I love looking for all kinds of self-improvement tools to help me do my business better. And I was wondering, I just kind of want to end things on, do you have any tools or software programs or apps that you use to make your life easier?
Oh, gosh. Well, obviously in my travel, it's my United app, you know, things like that. The other things I use is like, we built an app for Fargo Marathon, and it's amazing what we're able to do with them on a basis back and forth of helping them promote their event. That part of the business, I don't really personally use a lot that helps me with sales. My sales base and what I do with the team is really based off discovery of what the client needs. So on the tech side with an app, I mean, I live in Salesforce every day, so you know that. I mean, we live in Salesforce, and it's a great software program and tool that we use to, enhance our client base and to make those contacts and do things like that. So that's about as far as I go with the tools to make my life easier.
No problem. Thank you for sharing. Well, I just want to thank you, Mike, so much for taking the time to speak with me today. I love you, and I love your background and all the things that you do, and it's been so great catching up and hearing what you're up to, and congratulations again on your new role at events.com.
I appreciate that. It's a great ride. You know, I get to also work with so many young people. The thing about our business is we all know what the age groups are involved in triathlon, mm-hmm. and running, and I love to see younger people come into the sport. I mean, I'll get 18 and 19 year olds coming up to me at an event, go, Mr. Riley, right away when they say that, I go, oh my God. So they go, Mr. Riley, we'll be at a race. I'm doing Ironman Coeur d'Alene. But what do you mean? Well, I watched my mom finish it when I was 12, and I heard you call, and I want you to do the same thing for me. And I've been training, and I'm 18 years old now, and I'm thinking, it's not about me calling that person an Ironman, which, yeah, I love it and everything. But, oh my gosh, we've got somebody else in our sport. We drew somebody in who may be a lifelong member of endurance, whether they run, ride, do triathlon, and that's what it's all about. We want to be able to pass this all on, Tina, and we want to be able to have our kids teach their kids that this is a great lifestyle. A lot of people can produce income in it, but it can keep you sane in the tough world that we live in. And you go out on your bike. I've never gotten off my bike on a bike ride coming home from work thinking I had a bad day at work, when I could have left there thinking I had a bad day at work. So it's how we heal ourselves, and to be able to pass it on is the greatest gift.
That's great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, and thanks for having me. This is cool.